Yeah, he could go in legally at 17, you know, so he never got caught about it, I guess. So,
so that would have been maybe in early 1945 that he went in, didn't
he? Yeah, it must have been, because it was before the war was over. And he went after he'd been in for, I don't know, I say the Merchant Marine, I don't know just exactly what service, but anyway, he went over, after a while, he went into the Army Transport Corps, and he did real well in that. In fact, he was a junior officer, and that just seemed to be what he wanted to do, you know, and so he spent several years in there. But he, I wish so often now that I kept kind of a journal with dates, you know, and things happen, because it's just awful hard to look back and say, well, this was at a certain time that this happened. But he came, well, I didn't see him very often, but he'd get back on leave once in a while, you know, he wasn't too good of a correspondent, and I wasn't all that good of a correspondent either. And sometimes, you know, I wouldn't hear anything of him for several months at a time, but he was doing what he wanted to do. And when he was back, it was after he first went into the Merchant Marine, they had to get married. One of my daughter's friends, he met. I got real friendly, and they got married and had baby. But he was gone. He had to go back onto his ship, so he never was home very much to to be a husband or a father, and. Marriage didn't last. Well, later on, they got divorced, you know.
Had you been in much contact with her?
Well, yes. Fritzie lived here in town, and she was my daughter's best friend, you know. And so I was very interested, had a baby girl. And she's 3 years older than Leonard, just almost 3 years older. I don't see her so much now because later on she moved up to San Francisco. But she's very dear to me. But then later, Katie was, I think 2 or 3 years old the time they actually got the divorce. And then later, Fritzie married again, and of course, Bill was sending an allotment as long as he was in the Transport Corps, and you know, and later he went in the Navy then, but he allowed Fritzie's husband to adopt Katie because, I mean, he wasn't any father to her, he wasn't even here, Fritzie married a man who was about 20 years older than he was, but he was a good father to Katie, and I think it all turned out for the best.
Now, your son, and because he was kicked down to the job with the Army
Transport Corps, and later on, they dissolved the Army Transport Corps, and they called it MATS. It was more or less the same thing, but it was a different title. And then, and I can't tell you what year it was. About that time, the draft board was looking for him, and he wasn't even here, you know.
Did he need to do
Yeah, in the Korean. And he figured he was going to get drafted and put in the army, which he didn't want to do, so he joined the Navy. And so he spent the 4-year hicks in the Navy then.
Mm-hmm. He was a civilian working.
He was a civilian, actually, with the these other organizations, but and he went on minesweepers. He was in the engine room. That was he learned about diesels and all that. And he enjoyed the army. But I think that it was 1952 when he came back, but I'm not sure. But anyway, after 4 years hitch in the army, maybe by then he was kind of ready to get out and settle down by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he met a girl and they got married. And she was a nice girl, but they just weren't suited for each other, and that didn't last very long. And I think they got that annulled. And then later, he met Janice, that was the girl he married. And I can't tell you what year it was. I don't know. July 3rd, 1973. That's one date I remember.
It
was a work accident. I think it must have been Grandfather Lynn could tell me. She's good at remembering dates, but for some reason I don't pin them down in my mind unless I
there's
something special.
I know that he had spent some time, you mentioned, with the friends who lived here, he'd gone for about a year.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. It's just a boy. Uh-huh.
And then came back out here. And that's why I think, being a single parent, is that?
Well, yeah, and you know, I didn't know anything about boys. I was very poor in handling a boy. I mean, I was quite concerned. And all that time, just barely making a living, you know. But I just wasn't really fitted to cope with bringing up a boy by myself. I never had any brothers. My father was never any bigger in my life, and I just felt that I just wasn't fitted to cope with it, and. He was a good boy, but he was kind of wild. He never got into any bad trouble or anything like that. He just wanted to live. And that was quite a worry to me. But it was my own fault. Now, I can't ever imagine Lynn in a predicament like that. I mean, you know, she's in control. And her kids, but... But it was much easier for me to understand and get along with my daughter than it was for Phil.
Can you tell me about her growing up here?
Well, she and Bill were very close. They were only 19 months apart, and they looked, there was a strong family resemblance. So. They both look more like the father's family than like me. In fact, people that they went to different schools, and she'd meet people that knew Bill, and they would know that she was his sister. And the same way with Bill. His name was Paul, but I always called him Bill.
Mm-hmm.
His father's name was Paul, and I started out calling him by his middle name, and I've always called him by that.
Mm-hmm. But,
well, I mean that they were at, he went to Jefferson Junior High.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sort of, where we were then, we were sort of in between the two schools. And I don't know why, she started out at Franklin and she went to Franklin Junior High.
Mm-hmm.
And of course she went on to Wilson. But he dropped out then, you know, and he was gone when she was going to high school. But she was a good girl, and she said she started smoking when she was about 14 years old. She'd been smoking for a year before I even knew. So it was not much chance of ever breaking out of habit. That's one thing that always worries me so, because she does have lung problems and bronchitis, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
But she stuck with school and graduated, and she started going with us. Boy was older than she was,
mm-hmm.
and she was still in high school. And one time she wanted to drop school and get married, but I managed to talk her out of that. And, so they didn't get married until after she got out of school, and she worked for a little bit. She worked in a dime store down in Cressy's, and I would have liked her to go on to college, although I couldn't afford to send her any place to college. Of course, here in Long Beach, she could have gone to City College, but yeah. She just wasn't really interested in that.
Did you
kind of
encourage her to go into any kind of special work?
No, I think she took some business courses in high school, as I remember. But she didn't hadn't fitted herself for anything in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But she was thinking, you know, she's going to get married, and wasn't all that interested in preparing for anything special.
Mm-hmm.
And so she married, and that was Lynn's father. And they weren't really suited. I begin to think most people aren't really suited. You have to work an awful lot at it. But, I mean, they were kind of two divergent personalities. He was, we call him chauvinist, I guess. He still is in a lot of ways. but he was a pretty determined sort of self, you know. So eventually they clashed. It wasn't that she particularly wanted to go out and work or anything like that, but I think it was his personality was just a little bit too much for her. And they broke up and went back together a couple times, and they finally broke up for good. And in the meantime, George went into the service. That was during the Korean, and he was, he was quite a drinker, though not so much right at that time, but I mean enough, you know, anyway, he went into service, and even after they were divorced, why, he sent an allotment for Lynn. Upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't fitted for anything particular, so she started out, you know, working, you know, She worked at McMahon Furniture Store up on Anaheim for a while, and she kind of got into office work then. From one job to another, she learned something, you know, different each job. She worked for a garage up there on Anaheim, I guess, for a while. I think she went there before she went to McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of progressed. I guess her first job was at the credit union out at the hospital. And she was she was a good worker, so that she learned fast, you know, and made herself valuable. Most any place she worked, they hated to leave her when she left.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone on now, where she's a very good accountant and bookkeeper. And in fact, she and her present husband. Working in Topeka, Kansas. They worked, both of them, in fact, that was where she met him, was at work for DEC out here in Long Beach. And they specialize in restaurant interiors.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband, his name is Elisha, everybody calls him Pee-wee. I never saw anything but Pee-wee. She met him when she worked there, and they got married. Let's see. Yeah, that's a date I can remember. It was 1963. There's several other things happened in 63 about the same time, I remember. But she worked for them in the office, and she said got quite a bit of experience from them. And then in 1967, they decided to go to Alabama. That was Pee-wee's home. That's a small town outside it's about 50 miles, I guess, from Montgomery. Maybe not that far.
Mm-hmm.
And so he worked for his upholsterer. He's a very, very good upholsterer, especially these tufted boots they make, you know, for Jack Lynn says that he's probably one of the really best upholstering people in that line in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very fast at his work. And he worked for a small company there. He wasn't particularly happy with the man he worked for. And Carol went, got a job in Montgomery working for an air conditioning company. And she liked the work, but because she was a good worker, as always happens, they kept piling more and more work on her. You know, at the time she left, they had to hire two more people to do the work that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, then a couple years back, I guess must have been three, going on 4 years, the DEC out here decided to open a branch in Topeka, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And so Carol runs the office and the administrative work, and Peter's in charge of the shops, you know. And so they've been, they were doing pretty well, unless a recession and high interest rates. So they kind of feel they're lucky to hang on right now,
mm-hmm.
break even at it. So.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, when they get, they see Carol was 50 this last fall now. So when they retire, they still have some land back in Alabama, and they'll be able to back there to retire, because they don't know from day to day when how much longer the business will hang on or what. But.
When she was growing up and talking about it, getting married and that, did you ever talk to her about trouble breaking, or did you feel like that was probably? What were you feeling about
what?
About her ideas on being married and
training. Well, I, of course, would have liked to have her go to college, but I could see she wasn't interested in that particularly. I suppose maybe if we'd had a lot of money in the family, it might have made a lot of difference. She might have been much more. It could have been that she just thought that I wasn't able to do it, you know, and that she just said, but I can't remember that it was an issue one way or another. Mm-hmm. I tried to talk her out of getting married too soon, mm-hmm. and I think she was 18 or 19. It was soon after she got out of school I got married. And,
were you two
people
close?
Yes, we've always been very close. I was close with Bill in a way, but not, it's just the difference between boys and girls, you know. And as I say, I just felt that that I didn't know how to cope with the problems of a boy. And, and I have to say, I wasn't any smarter than I needed to be.
What did you do in the years when you were working, say, at the separation center and at the school district and at the hospital? What kinds of things, I mean, I know this probably will change at times, but do you have any idea of what your life outside of work was like?
Well, I didn't do any bathing. For some reason, I can't say that the type that I was frigid, but bathing and the idea of marriage just wasn't anything that bothered me too much. You know, I was more concerned with living. I had my mother with me, you know, and my life seemed pretty complete to me. I didn't feel any great lack because I wasn't dating or going around with some man, you know. And as far as sex, that didn't bother me that much. Like I say, I think Virgos are a little bit not so. Sex isn't that important, if you know what I mean. And I think, well, maybe someday I might meet some man. And I never actually met anybody that stirred me up, maybe. I didn't think very much about that. I worked with men all my life, and most of the men that I admired and think, well, you know, you see a man, you think, well, gee, I could go for him. But any man that I ever admired was already married. And frankly, I never met too many that I admired that much that I was. But I can't look back and think, well, you know, that my life was wasted because I never married again or anything like that, because I led a very complete life. I had friends. I had my mother and my home and my kids. And
were there women friends that you had
outside of work? Well, I have several nice friends like that. That one I said that was my supervisor. Of course, she lives out in La Habra, and I don't see her all that often now. But my other friend Helen, who I met out there, I said she worked on admissions there. She's been my friend over the years. She just works down in Belmont Shore here. My friend Isla that I met while I was going to business school. I probably see more of her than anybody else. She comes in and spends a couple of days a week with me. She lives over in Orange County now. I have a few good friends, you know. And I have a couple friends that I've met in the classes I take. I consider them my good friends. And when Mom and I used to take vacations after I got a car, I finally got a car in 1950. And Mom and Isla and I'd take little trips together, you know, and Isla always went on our trips with us. And we used to go down to New Mexico to visit my sister-in-law down there, and we'd go down into Arizona, and, you know, maybe for 3-4 days in time. And that was mostly the way I spent my vacations. I kind of take my leave a little bit at a time.
Is Isla also a single?
Yeah, she never married.
Mm-hmm.
She's a few years younger than I am. I think she's 62 or
63. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but it wasn't a problem for her to get away from
the
family?
No, she lived with her family for quite a while. And I don't know whether I mentioned it before, she once had a real bad accident and crushed her elbow. And so for several years, she wasn't able to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got ambulance fever, remember, from drinking raw milk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was pretty sick for several years in there. So her folks lived out in Compton then, and she used to come in and spend a lot of time with us. She'd come in maybe stay a couple weeks with us at a time, a week. And so we've always been friends over the years. And,
were there other things that you did, or did you find time with working and everything else to do family things with your mother and your kids?
As kids grew older, they kind of had their own interests, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't do a lot of things together with the kids as they got, well, from the time we got into junior high school. That's the way their interests were kind of. And at that time, I didn't have a car, so, like, we could go places together in the car and